I greet you in the name of Jesus. We've just been singing about his name. Wonderful, wonderful Jesus. And trust that he will take what he has me say and bless it and use it to benefit you today. Amen. That's why we're here. Glory to God.
Glory to God.
Okay. We've been talking about the definition of rich. And so I'm going to give you a review, and then we'll push on. Bible definition of rich. The 73rd Psalm says the foolish prosper in the world. And they do. They do. Yeah. But that's not God's rich. The foolish, the ungodly have success. We have good success. That's Joshua 1:8. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 22. The blessing of the Lord, it make it rich.
Amen.
Think about that. The blessing make it rich. The blessing is an empowerment. It's an ability that comes only from him. And he make it rich. So as Christians, we have to get comfortable with the word rich. You know? You think it's a four-letter word. A dirty four-letter word. The way some Christians think about it. So it's right there, Proverbs 10:22. The blessing of the Lord, it make it rich. He does it.
Amen.
Not something else. Jacob and Esau were rich. Job was rich. Abraham was rich. Isaac was rich. Amen. David, Solomon, Jesus. And you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. For though he was poor, yet for your sake he was rich. For your sake he became poor, that you might be made rich. What does that all mean? Well, here's one meaning. The Joseph rich. You remember Joseph's dream. The Pharaoh's dream. Pharaoh had two dreams, so four. In Genesis 41. And Joseph interpreted the dream to him and basically told Pharaoh, save up for the 7 years of plenty so you can use them on the 7 years of not so much. Okay? So to be rich, one way of that is to have so much laid aside that if you never receive any income for the next 7 years, you could live on what you have aside. Amen?
Amen.
That is. I'm not there yet. I don't know about you, but I'm making my way. Amen. To have enough liquid or liquidatable assets to live on for 7 years without any additional income coming in. That's rich. That's Bible rich. I don't know that most Christians are there. In fact, I know they're not. And then we looked at the 112th Psalm. Verse 1 says, the rich, Bible rich for God is blessed, is empowered. He fears the Lord. He delights greatly in his commandments. He says his seed, verse 2, his posterity will be positively impacted. And then look at verse 3. Let's go there. Look at verse 3. Let's go there again. Psalm 112, verse 3. Because I want to talk to you about a three-piece combo. Ooh, glory, glory, glory. I tell you, if you can't have fun in church, you ought not have fun anyplace else. Not for the Cowboys are not playing. you don't get any joy over there anyway. My. Psalm 112. Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord. See, we're all for that, are we not?
Yes.
He delighted greatly in his commandments. A man of love. His seed shall be mighty. But then we'll come to verse 3. And all of a sudden, Christians get a little... It says, wealth and riches shall be in his house. And his righteousness. So the three-piece combo is wealth, riches, and righteousness. Some people have one piece of the three-piece combo. They have a strong sense of righteousness. They are right with God, and they do their best to do right. They forget the other two pieces of the three-piece combo. Wealth and riches, supposed to be in your house.
Amen.
That's what it says. Huh? Wealth and riches shall be in his house. What house? This man that delights greatly in the commandments of God. Problem is, too many Christians are not expecting it. Don't exercise faith in it. So remember now, three-piece combo. Wealth, riches, righteousness. They go together. Amen. Not mutually exclusive. How many Christians think they are? Yeah, we're righteous and we're right with God and so. Yeah, but what about the rest of it? Okay, I'm reviewing now. Let me just not take too much time there. Okay. And then verse 4, go back to Psalm 112, what I did. Verse 4, it says, let me just read otherwise I'll take too long. Light in the darkness. This man always knows what to do. When darkness comes, the light of God's word floods his being. And he knows what to do. If he doesn't, he asks Jesus.
Amen.
And he gets so. That's part of being rich. Amen. Amen. It's not just about money.
Amen. Amen.
Verse 5. This man is a good man. Woo. A good man showed favor. What does that mean? He's able to be generous, which means he has what it takes to be generous with.
Amen.
He's loaded. Wealth and riches. That's how he's able to be generous. He's a good man. So a good man just doesn't mean you don't hurt children and you smile at everybody. That's good too, but what about this other part of it?
Amen.
In fact, that's what the Lord told me. My goodness. Not every rich man is a good man, but every good man is a rich man.
Amen. Wow. Amen.
You can be rich without being good, but you cannot be good without being rich. I know that strikes you wrong, but remember now the definition of rich. Proverbs 13:22. A good man, definition of good man, a good man liveth an inheritance for his children's children. If you don't do that, you're not a good man. I didn't say so, the Bible said so.
Right.
Huh? A good man liveth an inheritance to his children's children. It's not something to feel bad about, it's something to come up to. To say, well, I got ways to go. Lord help me. Amen. Hallelujah. It's not a message of condemnation. It's to heighten our expectation. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Father. That's why he tells rich people, look at 1 Timothy 16. That's why he tells rich people to be good. See? Mm-hmm. Because that's part of what it takes to be good. A good man leave an inheritance for his children's children. If you're not where you can do that, you're not rich yet. But just keep climbing. Keep coming up. Keep coming up. Don't, say, you just being nice and being kind and all that. Yeah, that's part of it. But that's it. First Timothy, look at chapter 6. First Timothy 6:17. Charge them that are rich in this world. Basically, it says, charge them to be good. If you read the rest of this, right? That they be not high-minded, don't trust in those certain riches, but in the living God, because it is he who gave you resources to enjoy, that they do good. That's what it takes to do good. Not to be good-hearted, but to do good.
Amen.
Amen? I mean, all of us Christians are good-hearted. We have in our heart to do good, but we're not able to do good because and he wants us to be in that place where we can actually do good. I talked about how frustrating it is to want to help and not be able to help. Huh? That's frustrating. God does not want us frustrated. He wants us to be in a place where we can do good when he talks to us to do good. So here's some rich people who are not being good and are being instructed to be good. So it takes that to be good. You can be rich and not be good, but if you're good, amen? Remember now, a good man, this is the definition of a good man. Here in 1:12, right? It says, a good man shows favor and he lendeth. You don't do much lending if you have barely enough for yourself. Amen?
Amen?
If you ever even do lending, you want it back. You do. And you will fight and fuss for it to come back because he ain't got enough. But if you are a good man, you can lend and forget about it. Amen. You're not going to fuss with them to bring it back because you've got plenty left over.
But.
Amen.
Amen. Lender. He lended. All of this has to do with money. Christians don't want to. Okay, I take that back. I'm not going to exercise my faith like that anymore. We have to get this. A good man showed favor and lent it. Remember now, this is a man who delights greatly in his commandments. When I talk about some ungodly infidel, it's a word man. Hallelujah.
That's good. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Okay, so then he instructs good men, he instructs rich men to be good, because you can be rich and not be good. But you can't be good without being rich either, because you don't have the resources to do good. So you'd be frustrated. And that's what plenty of Christians are. Frustrated. Want to do good, can't do it. Which is why we have to be instructed about finances from the Word of God. So that we can have them and be good.
That's good.
I told you, do not lend money to someone if you're not prepared to forgive the loan, if they can't pay.
Amen.
Amen.
That's good.
Because it's going to cause some strife. See, this is why it says a good man lend it, because a good man lend it. If you don't bring it back, he'll just let it go. No fuss. Because a good man doesn't get in fusses. It's strife. Okay? It says, he guides his affairs with discretion. Verse 5. This man has good judgment. This man, his heart is fixed. Verse 6 and 7. He says, sure, there's no fear in him. Whatever happens, he's not afraid. Because his trust is in God, not in his stuff.
Amen.
Hallelujah. My goodness. Verse 8, his heart is established. He's fully convinced. He's not trying this. He's not staggering one mind and then another mind. No. And he's a giver. Verse 9, he's a giver. He lives to give. All of those are part and parcel of the definition of Bible rich. And then we talked about Malachi chapter 3, the tithing chapter, under the title, the Bible rich man does not have money arguments with God. He does with money what God says to do with it.
Amen.
No arguments. When God says give, he does.
That's good.
Not when man says it, when God says it. He has no money arguments with God. How many Christians have money arguments with God all day long about the tithe? Huh? Oh, Jesus, help us. A good man, this good biblical rich man is a payer of tithes and a giver of offerings. He has no issue with that. God gave me the entire dollar. Why am I going to fuss about giving him 10 cents?
Amen.
What sense does that make?
That's good.
Unless I don't believe he gave me the entire dollar.
Right.
Amen.
That's good.
And the thing about that is the lifestyle that opens you up to more what he's got for you.
That's good.
Too much of Christian financial counseling is about managing what little all we got. Mm-hmm. Huh? That's a part of it. But what about accessing the limitless resources of God?
Yeah.
Well, you can't do that if you don't come through this route. Because this is part of how God tests and tries you. This is how you qualify yourself. You can handle the resources it brings to your life. You will do it what he wants.
Amen.
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 That's a part of it. That's a part of it.
Amen.
So we just gotta keep putting it out there. More and more people are getting it. Here's what the Lord told me this morning. Your tithe belongs to God more so than your mortgage payment belongs to the bank.
Oh, very solid.
Think about that. More so. God is entitled, if you're a believer, God is entitled to your tithe more than the mortgage company is entitled to your mortgage payment.
Amen.
Because all they did was allow you and enable you to buy a house. He gave you life.
That's right. Amen.
And Christians want to fuss and debate and talk about, you know, Old Testament, this, that, and the other. I don't know if I want to go.
Teach.
Thank you, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Well, look at Matthew 23:23. I mean, I may be preaching to the choir here, but people listening online that maybe haven't heard this, but how about if I showed you what Jesus said you should pay your tithes?
He does.
Not give it, pay it. Mm-hmm. We settled that last week. It's his. The tithe belongs to the Lord. He gives us the privilege to handle it. So when next time someone comes up to you about how the Old Testament, or they showed them what Jesus said about the tithe. Jesus said you should pay the tithe. Pay the tithe. Matthew 23:23. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint, and I have enough anise, and I've cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not leave the other undone.
Amen.
Is that plain enough?
That's good.
That's what Jesus said.
That's right.
You should handle these matters of the law and so forth, but don't leave the other undone.
Amen.
So they told them. I mean, what's the debate?
Amen.
Oh, Jesus. Okay. Well, I guess we're supposed to go in this direction. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Because people say, well, it's Old Testament. It's not. Is it the New Testament? You better believe it is. So that's Jesus. Here's Paul. Did Paul say to pay tithe? Well, I'm about to show you if you didn't know. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Remember now, this is to give us, to position us so that we can be good men and women.
Amen.
That's right.
That's the point of it. Not being frustrated. Being able to do what's in our heart to do to help folks.
Amen.
1 Corinthians 9. It starts verse 1, but you know, he's talking about an apostle and so forth, trying to correct these folks. Am I not an apostle? Of course I am, so forth. Okay? We don't have time to read the entire chapter, but you can. Okay? And then it comes down to verse 6. I only and Barnabas have not with power to forbear working for what? Working for wages. So we're about to talk about money. Verse 7. Who goes to warfare anytime at his own charges? Talk about paying some bills. Okay? And then again, you can read all that, okay? If you come down to verse number 13, Do you not know that they which minister about holy things live of the things of the temple? What is he talking about? Tithes and offerings that the Levites lived off of. Is he not talking about that?
Amen.
And then he brings it, he says, and they which wait at the altar are partakers of the altar, even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of it. How are they supposed to live of it? Tithes and offerings.
That's
good. Don't tell me Paul didn't talk about this.
Amen.
He makes a clear reference to the Old Testament. Nobody would debate that. Embrace the New Testament. Okay? Look at, I have some scriptures ready just in case the Lord wants me to go this way.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 5. Paul, again, talking about this. 1 Timothy chapter 5. That's not the New Testament. Of course it is. If you read your Bible, you know.
Amen.
Oh, glory. 1 Timothy chapter 5, look at verse number 17. He again makes allusion to this. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. For the scripture saith, the scripture saith, this is the Old Testament he's quoting. Because when he wrote this, he didn't know he was writing scripture. You know that, right?
Yeah.
It became scripture after he wrote it. So when he says scripture says, he's not talking about Jude and Revelation. He's talking about the Old Testament.
Amen.
For the scripture says, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treaded out the corn, and the laborers will. He's talking about the Old Testament.
Amen.
About tithes and offerings in the Old Testament. Making reference to it. Bring it right in the New Testament.
Amen.
If anybody tells you it's not in the New Testament, they haven't looked close enough.
Amen.
And then look at Hebrews 7. Look at the book of Hebrews chapter 7. That was really just in case, like I said.
Amen.
Woo! Hebrews chapter 7. Verse 1. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem. Melchizedek is also talked about in Genesis 14. You can do that. You can look at that. We don't know a whole lot about Melchizedek. But the one thing we know about him, he showed up, he received tithes from Abraham, and he blessed him. Mm-hmm. And so he talks about this, he talks about Levi receiving tithe, verse 5, okay? And then it comes down to verse 8. And it talks about a place, a personal persons, and an activity. Verse 8. And here, that's the place. Men, the person, or persons, that died, received tithe. Have you noticed that's in the present tense, continuous? You didn't say they received tithe. And here, men that died, received tithe. Present tense, not past. And then it says, but there, not a place, heaven, he receiveth them of whom it is witnessed that he liveth. Well, who do you think that is? Jesus. He receiveth them. Huh?
Amen.
Verse 8. And as I may so say, Levi also received a tithe, paid tithes in Abraham, for he was yet in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. Okay, so it connects it all that. Tithe is in the New Testament. Plain and simple. If we don't want to do it, let's not blame its absence in the New Testament for it.
Amen.
I don't know why we want to do it. It's the best investment, plan you could ever have.
Amen.
By far. By far. Okay. So, here's where we start today.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Mark chapter 5. Let me show you this. Like I said earlier, you might say, well, yeah, but that's Jesus. But you kind of, you still had to see it. Let's see here. Where was that moment? He preached all day. Bible said when the evening was come. Well, you know what? You can find it if you really want to know about it. I think it's Mark 11, actually.
Mark 11.
Or is it 5? Okay, maybe I'll find it for you. He went to the temple. Remember when he went to the temple? Did nothing? Where was that? I think it's either 5 or 11.
You said he preached all day?
He did. He preached all day. When it says when the evening was come. Lord Jesus. No, Mark 5 is the I'm going to talk about that next. That's why it was on my mind. We had an episode last week.
21
The devil showed up in church. Mm-hmm. How dare he? But he did. When I got ready to cast him out, he got quiet. Oh.
11:19.
What is it?
Mark 11:19.
Is it 11:19? Okay. Yeah, it's Mark 11. Okay, let me see now. Let me show you. Thank you, Father. Okay, look at verse 17, okay? So, it says, he taught, saying unto them, is it not written, my house shall be called of all nations, the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. And the scribes and Pharisees, priests heard it, and sought how they might destroy him, for they feared him, because all the people were astonished at his doctrine, okay? And when evening was come, okay? Which means he'd been talking the whole time, okay? So I'm just getting you ready, just in case I'm left talking. You know I have scripture for you, okay? Glory to God. Okay. So last week, you know, we've gotten so sophisticated in the church that we don't, most churches don't even know demons exist anymore.
Oh.
Amen. Wow. Amen? Oh, yeah. You know, that's stuff that happens in Africa and Asia and places like that. We're too civilized in Austin, Texas with demons. Yeah, right.
That's right.
They're just sophisticated, you know, demons. That's all. They're still the same. Did you know much of what we call mental illness is demonic activity?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I didn't say all of it. Much of it is. Listen, if you're hearing voices, that's a demon talking to you.
Okay.
Amen.
Amen.
Oh, yeah. Tell anybody you should cut your hand and cut your finger and cut yourself. That's a devil talking to you.
That's right.
And you ought to talk back to him. Tell him, no, I'm not going to do that. Get born again first.
Amen.
So Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. And then tell that demon to get lost in the name of Jesus. Those are devils talking to folks to hurt themselves and you're no good. You know, you see somebody, you know, bone thin, and the devil tells them you're too fat. Think of that.
Yeah.
Huh? Where would that be coming from?
Amen.
So, someone, you know, had someone walk in here last week and just making all kind of noises. Just grunting, just, you remember? And I'm up here teaching them. I'm like, okay, Lord, I'm teaching them, I'm praying the same time.
Amen.
What should I do about this? Okay. And so I was led to go. I was going to cast the devil down. When I got to him, he stopped. So I just wanted to pray for him.
Mm-hmm.
So look at Ephesians. I want you to know that devils exist. Demons. There's only one devil, right? Only one devil. Thank God. You know. But there are plenty of demons. He's that do his bidding. And we don't want to be so sophisticated, so westernized that we'll forget what the Bible actually says.
Amen.
Okay.
Hallelujah. Ephesians, from the Old Galatians, chapter 6, verse number 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, that's humans, but against principalities, gives us even classes of devils. Principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness. Given us the classification of demons. One of these days I'm going to teach on that. So let's not forget that do actually exist, okay? And Jesus has encountered them. Look at Mark 5. Mark chapter 5. A demon came to Jesus for deliverance. And the devil talked to him. Mark chapter 5. Verse 1. And they came onto the other, of the sea. And when he was. Chapter 4 talks about the storm. Remember that storm Jesus was taking a nap?
Yeah.
Part of the reason for that was to stop Jesus from coming over so he could minister to this guy.
Amen.
Wow. Amen. So they get over, and when he was come, verse 2, out of the ship, immediately they made him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. That's a demon. Who had been restrained and put away, and he just couldn't contain him. He came to Jesus. He came looking for deliverance. See, you can't be so far gone that God can't help you. You cannot be that far gone.
Lord Jesus.
You always, every human being always has a route to God.
Yeah.
All they have to do is decide to take it. And so as demonized as this man was, okay, and if you read these next verses, you will see that. I mean, he'd been tied with chains and he just tore everything up.
Wow.
Okay? Verse number six. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him. Imagine that. He still had that connection. And he cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with you? This was a demon talking. The man came for deliverance. The demon is trying to stop it. He says, what have I to do with you? And if you heard this, it probably wouldn't sound like I'm sounding.
Right.
It sound very grotesque.
Right.
Kind of like the noises that we heard last week. Back then. This is a demon talking. What have I to do with thee, Jesus? That's one of the most demons know Jesus. Do you know that? They know who he is.
They do.
Oh yeah. I hope they know who you are too.
Amen.
I hope they know who you are.
Yeah.
Nothing to be afraid. You got power. Remember the name we talked about earlier?
Amen.
Oh, glory.
Yeah,
hallelujah. No fear. No fear.
Amen.
You got the name.
That's good.
I join you by God that you torment me not. Imagine that. The demon that have been tormenting this man, and he knows, well, they know, it turns out there were a bunch of them, about to be cast out. And see, for them, that's torment, because they will have no place to dwell. Don't torment me, don't cast me out. And the reason the demon spoke out is because Jesus had said, right? Come out of him, thou unclean spirit. Demons exist, and Jesus has encountered them.
Amen.
And you read the rest of that story, he cast it out. Turned out to be a bunch of them. All right, let me show you one scripture about this, and then we'll look at Matthew 16. Sometimes demons are behind diseases and sicknesses. Did you know that? Not every time, but sometimes. Matthew 16. Where am I? Thank you, Lord. Matthew 9. What am I saying? Matthew 9. Look at Matthew chapter 9. Verse number 32. Sometimes demons cause problems, cause diseases. Matthew 9:32. As they went out, behold, they brought to him a dumb man possessed with the devil. Huh? Dumb. He couldn't speak. Why? Because he was possessed with the devil. Okay? And when the devil was cast out, the dumb spake. So evidently this spirit was the cause of this man not being able to speak. Did you know this man could have seen all sorts of doctors and still not been able to speak until this demon was cast out?
Amen.
Amen. Oh yeah. Medical science can't handle this. Now, I'm not knocking medical science. They do a lot, not for us. But there are things that they can't handle. For which we have the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Glory.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So I just wanted to, I believe the Lord led me to touch on this a little bit. So we know that demons exist. So if next time a demon shows up, you will not be concerned at all. Look at Matthew 16. Now, we looked at the, guy who was crazed because of demons. A disease because of demons. Now here he is. He's an apostle. The apostle Peter. My goodness. So the devil can manifest through respectable people.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Matthew 16. Look at verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Whom do men say that I am?" They gave him some examples. And then it gets down to verse number 17, verse 16. And then Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus commended him, right? Verse 17. And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father which is in heaven, and on this revelation I have built my church," and so forth. Jesus commended him for hearing from heaven. And then we get down to verse number, verse 20. Then charged he, Jesus, his disciples, that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. It wasn't time yet. And from that time forth, he began to show them how that he must go to Jerusalem, he must suffer with the elders, he would be persecuted, he would be killed, and he will rise again. And Peter, the Bible says, took him to the side to rebuke him. Imagine that. Huh? Except it wasn't Peter doing it. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, "Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee." But he turned and said unto Peter, who was actually talking to the demon.
That's good.
He was trying to stop him from going to the cross.
Oh,
huh?
Yeah.
Here's the demon. And this is Peter right after he had heard from heaven, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And shortly after that, he's hearing from hell. Oh, brother.
Yeah.
He's trying to stop Jesus. Now, remember now, Jesus knew he was going to the cross. He knew that it would be painful.
Yeah.
He even tried to get out of it. Right? Mm-hmm. I said, he was the God man. He was fully man and fully God. So as a man, he knew the pain. Is there any other one who could do this? No. He didn't even wait for the answer because he knew the answer. Mm-hmm. Amen? Mm-hmm. So here's Peter giving him a way out. Are you getting this? Mm-hmm. Suggesting that, no, you're not going to die. Mm-hmm. We're not going to let you die. No, he came to die.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Wow. So this was directly from hell. And he knew it. Mm-hmm. And he looked Peter straight in the face and addressed the demon that was acting through him. Oh, I said, get thee behind me, Satan. Mm-hmm. He wasn't calling Peter Satan.
That's good.
Amen. And so maybe a respectable person, but just lend their mouth to the devil to spout things with you. You have to be willing to know that.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
That's good.
Now, here is the really best news about all of this. Look at the book of Mark. Ah, glory.
Amen.
No fear, I said.
Amen.
Mark 15. Actually, Mark 16, verse 15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
So you have power over all of them. You can cast them out.
That's right.
You can cast them out.
Amen.
That's why I approached that person last week, fully intending to cast that demon out. And he quit acting. I hope I didn't miss God. Maybe I should have gone ahead and cast it out anyway. Maybe he got smart and just laid on the cover. You know? Maybe that's what happened. Mm-hmm. So Lord, forgive me, because I was fully intending to. Amen, amen, amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. All right, so I wanted to address what happened last week, so you know, because it could happen again, right? Yeah. I mean, like I said, that there are lots of things going on you know, in Western culture and all of that, we think it's just mental. It is beyond mental.
That's good.
It's just that spiritual stuff going on. Amen. Not in every case, right? There's not a devil under every rock. We're not going to go that way, right? but the devil exists. Demons exist. And they do things. They talk to people. Like I said, if you're hearing voices telling you to do some bad stuff, that is not from God.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And it's not coming from you either.
Facts. Amen.
So get born again and tell that devil to get.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Good.
You should cast that devil. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, so let's get back here and talk about last few minutes we've got about definition of rich. Look at the 91st Psalm. Safety. Did you know safety is a part of being rich?
Amen.
Being safe.
Amen.
Oh, yeah. Ooh, a big part. Psalm 91 is the believer's contract of protection. Hallelujah. You have a contract of protection. Verse 1 is the preamble of this contract. Jesus reads the preamble to you as a believer. He tells you, he that dwelleth, how do you dwell? You dwell by immersing yourself in God's word. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Watch the news, watch the weather, but your day should start with God.
Amen.
And you should listen to Bible teaching between Sundays. Amen?
Amen.
I'm not talking about fragments of it. an hour or two of it, at least. You know, we used to have Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, church services. Just about every church did that. Mm-hmm. Now it's hard to find any church that does that, anymore. We plan to do that, by the way.
Amen.
Amen. We do. Mm-hmm. Because you can't, you can't go from Sunday to Sunday. What about between Sundays? Amen.
Amen.
So he dwelleth, this man dwelleth in the secret place of the Almighty, of the Most High. This is Jesus reading this to you. Okay? If you dwell, you will abide under the shadow of the Almighty. That's the preamble of this contract of protection. And then, verse 2 is where you sign the document. The Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost have already signed it.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
But see, God is not a dominator. You have to participate.
Amen.
So here's what Jesus tells you. Basically, Jesus asks you, will you say this at the first sign of trouble?
That's good.
This is how you sign and initial this contract of protection. Will you say of the Lord, He is my refuge. He is my fortress. He is my God. In Him do I trust.
Amen.
Will you say that? If you will, little brother, little sister, hey, are there all the things you could expect?
Thank you.
This is real.
That's good. Hallelujah.
Contract of protection. Huh? And then it starts reading to you what you can expect. How do we know that? Let's look at the first word of verse 3. Surely who's he talking about? Talk about the Father. Surely the Father will deliver you. If you will say, He is my refuge.
Amen.
He is my fortress. He is my God. In Him only do I trust. If you say that at every sign of trouble, Amen. This is what He will do.
Amen.
But if you don't say it,
Amen.
Then you back out of the contract. You void the contract. My goodness. And so now, let me jump ahead and show you this so you can go back and read this. I don't know if I have time to read all of it. And bear this in mind. You know what? Let's just go. Here's what. So Jesus tells you, if you're willing to say, okay, sign here, basically. Sign this document. And so now then he starts to tell you, surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler. Hidden traps. From the northern pestilence. He, talking about the Father, shall cover you with his feathers, protection, and under his wings you shall trust. His truth shall be your shield. You see that?
Amen.
Jesus talking to you about the Father. And buckler, you will not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that fly by day. Huh? Protection.
Amen.
No, for the pestilence that walketh in the darkness, doesn't matter day or night. Protection.
Amen.
We've been doing this for years. First thing I do, I get an airplane, get my ticket out. Look here, devil. I'm flying from here to Miami. I'm not going to Cuba. That's exactly where I'm going.
Amen.
I hereby give angels charge of this airplane. Because the VIP is on board.
Amen.
You guys didn't get that part. Amen. You are a VIP.
That's
Amen.
Right.
You have heavenly detail.
Amen.
Because you are a prince or a princess with God.
Amen.
Better protection than the U.S. president.
Amen. Thank
you. If we just knew it and claimed it.
Amen.
Get on a ship, on a cruise. I know that. Get in a taxi. You just tell the devil, we'll go from this address to that one.
That's right.
My goodness.
That's good. Amen.
Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that fly by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in the darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth noonday. 1,000 shall fall on that side, and 10,000 at that right hand, but it shall not come near. It shall not come near you enough to hurt you. That's what it means. Jesus was in the boat. The storm came, right? And I'm going ahead of myself, but I don't have to go down. So, and it was a minor inconvenience, wasn't it? He was napping. You nap, you're not ready to wake up, you have somebody to wake you up. That's an inconvenience. But it was only a minor inconvenience. The storm cost Jesus a minor inconvenience. Because when he got up, he said, peace. He didn't say, please.
That's good.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah.
He didn't say, "Stone, please, would you stop?" Hallelujah. He said, "Peace! I demand you quit now." Can you do that?
Amen.
Absolutely.
Amen.
Absolutely.
Amen.
Absolutely. Just got to believe that he did.
Amen.
He was on a mission, remember? He was on a mission to deliver that devil possessed guy.
Amen.
The devil tried to stop him. So this means not enough to cost you more than a minor inconvenience.
Amen.
See, it's just okay. 1,000, okay, verse 8. Only with your eye. Jesus is talking to you now. Don't forget that.
Amen.
Since verse 3, he's been telling you the provisions of this contract. If you will say, he is my God. Okay? Only with your eyes will you see the reward of the wicked. That's the devil, not humans. Okay? Now, verse 9 is a telltale sign. What I'm telling you is so. He said, all of this is going to happen for you. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High God, your habitation. Did you see that?
Amen.
It is so crystal clear. So crystal clear. And then you read the rest of that. It comes all the way down to verse 16. Now, it comes all the way to verse, look at verse 13. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon, thou shalt tread on the feet. Okay? And then Jesus stops speaking and turns to the Father and says, Father, would you like to finish this, reading this contract?
Amen.
Ooh, glory. And the Father says, of course, I'd love to. And then he starts to talk. He starts to tell Jesus. Because you, not Jesus, talk to you. Because you have set your love upon me. Therefore will I deliver him. I've got that wrong. He's talking to Jesus now. I said talking to Jesus, then I messed it up. It's just Jesus. Because he, talk about you. Huh? Talking to Jesus about you. He said, because he or she has set his or her love upon me, therefore will I deliver him or her. I will set him on high, because he or she has known my name. See, now he's talking to Jesus about you.
Amen.
Jesus had been talking to you about him.
Amen.
And then he took over. My goodness. I hope you're seeing this. It is so revolutionary.
It's good.
It lets you know that this is truly a contract.
Amen.
And all you have is that little bitty piece up front where you're willing to say, yes. He is my God.
Amen.
I have no other.
Amen.
I trust him.
Amen. That's good.
And he will do the rest of it.
Thank you, Jesus.
So he says, I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me. You see that? And I will answer him. I will answer him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him with long life. Will I see that and show him my great salvation?
Amen.
The preamble. your part, your initial part, and then Jesus has to tell you what all you just signed up for.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah. And then the Father completes reading the contract to you. And all you have to say is, He is my God. Huh? In your attitude, in your thinking, whatever is going on, whatever news you hear, He is my God.
Amen.
I trust you. Amen. If you do that and stay in faith.
Amen. All right. Okay. A few minutes later.
Okay. So let's talk about this now. Natural disasters. Jesus was in a boat. A hurricane came up. And he dealt with it. Can you do that as a believer?
Yes. Amen.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Natural disasters are not an act of God. We'll talk about protection as a part of the definition of what it means to be rich.
Amen.
Huh?
Amen.
Oh, yeah. If you have all the money in the world but are not safe, you're not going to enjoy any of it.
Okay. Amen.
Natural disasters are not an act of God. They can be stood against. Jesus stood against that storm.
Amen.
And you can have exactly the same results. Can you believe that?
Yes.
Amen.
You are able to believe it if you will.
Amen.
You can have exactly the same results as you did.
Amen.
Because you come in His name.
Amen.
Huh? Amen. His name will do what He can do. Anytime, anywhere.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
His name takes His place. Amen. All that's necessary is that you have faith in His name. That's it.
Amen.
In fact, didn't He say so? In John chapter 14, verse 12. He said, the things that I do, can you do also, and greater works than these.
Amen.
He said it.
That's right. He did.
You can write that down for taking notes. So you don't have time to jump to it. But He said it in John 14, 12.
Amen.
And then He said it again, Mark 11, 22, 23, 24. Remember, he spoke to the tree, and the tree dried up. And they were all in awe of it. And He said to them, verily I say unto whosoever shall say unto this mountain, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe. See, that's what it takes. That those things which he said shall come to pass, he shall have what he said, just like I did.
Amen.
That's what I was trying to tell them. You'll have the results I have, if you have faith like I have.
Amen.
So why is it then that this... You know about the natural disaster we just had, all the storms and hurricanes. That didn't have to happen. I know, but see, this is how far gone we are from the scriptures. Did you know the Bible tells us a man of God had the sun stand still?
Amen.
A man of God stretched a rod over a body of water and it froze. The path was created. He's the same God. He hasn't changed.
Amen.
He hasn't.
Amen.
The only thing that's changed is some of us become so civilized. We forget the scriptures.
Amen.
So you hear somebody say something like, those storms didn't have to happen. And you're like, well, what do you mean by that? Jesus stopped the storm. What good did that storm do? Did it do any good? Jesus was anointed with the Holy Ghost and power. What about doing good?
Amen.
And that's what we're supposed to be doing.
Amen. That's right. Amen.
If we dare to believe it. But here's what happens. They start telling us, the hurricane season is upon us.
Mm.
What is that? They are releasing faith, expecting hurricanes. That's the first problem. just like they tell us, the flu season is here, go get your shot. Preparing you to get the flu. And countless Christians. Oh yeah, the flu season's about to be here. I hope I don't get any flu this year.
That's
good. See, we act ourselves, we're not even, act like mere men, mere women, as if we haven't been born again.
That's good.
I said the blood hasn't been shed.
Amen.
So that's the first problem. They tell us hurricane season is here, and everybody starts believing for hurricanes. Mm. Yeah, the news starts telling us how, you know, what category it is, how much damage it's going to do, and everybody is acting, expecting to show up. That's part of the problem. I'm telling you why these things keep happening.
That's good.
And you get a few believers that believe like I'm talking to you about, and their faith is overwhelmed by a truckload of unbelief. Huh? Do you know that in that boat on that day, had the disciples been believing like Jesus, they would not have had to wake him up.
That's good. Amen.
They would not have had to wake him up.
That's good.
They could have done exactly what he said.
Amen.
That's why he rebuked them. Look at it. Go back to it. Look at Mark chapter 5.
Yeah.
If they couldn't have done what he did, he had no business rebuking like he did.
Yeah.
Verse 39, and he arose, and he rebuked the wind, and he said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and the waves were calm. I mean, that hurricane can be turned back, go back to the ocean where it came from. And he said unto them, why are you so fearful? Evidently he wasn't, because he was taking a nap. How are you going to be sleeping in the middle of a storm? You must know that it can't touch you.
That's good.
He rebuked them. Why are you so fearful? How is it you have no faith? Meaning, how is it you didn't use your faith? They had faith, they didn't use it. They yielded to fear instead. And blame him for not caring for them. If they had acted like he did, they would not have had to wake him up.
Yeah.
And so you get a believer or two or three or four or five or, you know, a dozen or so, believing against the storm, but their faith is overwhelmed by the unbelief. I imagine a biblical example. Remember those two spies?
Yeah.
Moses sends 12 spies, right? The 10 of them came with a Bible calls a belief, a report of unbelief.
Yeah.
The two of them said, we can do this.
Yeah.
Okay.
The 10 said, no, can't do it. They're like, we're like grasshoppers. Oh, they're going to eat us for lunch. Can't do it. What happened? Their unbelief overwhelmed Joshua and Caleb. And guess what? Joshua and Caleb all suffered too. They had to wait for 40 years to get what was coming to them the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't they?
Yeah.
Even though they were believing, because of the entire community wasn't flowing in that direction, they had to wait until 40 years later. This is why the storms devastated and so forth and so on. Because of the massive faith and fear involved and so forth. Because we could. Now, here's the difference though. Now, as a believer, your individual situation doesn't have to be impacted.
Amen.
Yeah.
Okay? That's okay. See, so if you're believing, God is able to see to it that your faith delivers you.
Amen.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. But protection. Okay, time to wrap this up, right? Protection is a very important part of the definition of rich. No doubt about it. Glory to God. Okay, Father, we thank you. We praise you. We bless you. Oh, thank you for your plan, your wonderful plan of redemption. Because of the shed blood of Jesus. You want us blessed so we can be a blessing.
Amen.
You told Father Abraham that. And if we are in Christ, we are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the same promises and blessing.
Amen.
You want us to be good men and women who do good with your resources that you have piped into our lives. Thank you, Father, for further revelation, insight about these things. Who may be instruments in your hands to be used to be a blessing to this world. Glory, 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 glory. We praise you and we bless you for protection. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Father, for our heavenly detail.
Yes.
Our angels stand ready to protect us. We praise you, Father, and we bless you. In the name of Jesus. Everybody say
Amen.
My friend, do you know Jesus? Is he your master? If not, you can do that right today. Don't wait. Don't put it off. Hallelujah. Your friends, parents, relatives maybe be praying for you. Receive Jesus today. You have nothing to lose. Absolutely nothing. And you will not have any regrets either.
Mm-hmm.
None whatsoever. Like I've said many times, the only thing that those of us who have received Him as Savior and Lord regret is that we don't often portray Him properly. We come short often. We don't shine as brightly as we ought to shine. That's it. There's no regret about, well, I wish I didn't receive Jesus as Lord. No. So receive Him today. Say, Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. I receive my prayer language. Lead me to a church that will teach me how to live a victorious Christian life. I thank you for doing it. In Jesus' name, amen. I agree with that prayer, and I agree with you concerning the rest of your life, your family situation, any kind of health issues you may have, your marriage, you have children, any of that, that it begins to come into focus now, the perfect plan of God for your life. And if you live anywhere around here, come see us. It's better live than through the medium of the internet. But if you're too far away, meaning 100, my definition of far, 100 miles. Oh, yeah. If you're within 100 miles, you're close. Yes. If not, keep watching. We'll be back at the same time next week. Love you and be blessed.